Morning.
Morning.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Spirit's very busy this morning, the Holy Spirit in this place. There's quite a sense of the flow of the Spirit. Or your sense of God's presence. Feeling the compassion of God. I've nearly been in tears a few times because of the compassion of God for His people.
Yes.
And for the lost people. There's also a sense of the fear of God. And why is that? Well, because He's now very near us. His presence is increasing in this place. His presence is very close. And His Spirit is very active here today, and especially in compassion. As we've heard from Melbourne Amber Reid a couple of times now, there's opportunity for healing here, restoration, for forgiveness, for renewal, for handing your cares and your troubles and your problems over to the Lord, because He wants to take them. He wants to send you your change this morning and renew it. So God is good. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your presence here this morning, for the way You're already ministering into lives. We thank You for the move of Your Spirit in this place, for the joy that brings to us, because we know we're in the right place, because we're close to You. You're speaking into our lives, You're releasing the gifts, the anointings, the purposes and the plans that You have for us. And so we choose to receive these things. We bind anything in this place that is not of You, and we send it away from here. Send it to cause no harm in its going. And we receive the Holy Spirit and see Holy Spirit come and move amongst us. Be very real and very present for us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Got a couple of scriptures. First of all, in the prophecy of Isaiah, 61st chapter in the first verse onwards. Isaiah 61 from verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to head up, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. And as you probably already know, Jesus took those words and proclaimed them in Nazareth in the synagogue. Luke 4, verse 14. We'll stop there. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised Him. He went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, He went into the synagogue, as was His custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Every one of you, every one of us, has at least a gift from God, the anointing of God. Each one has, yes, a ministry which is unique to them and to their own faith journey with God. Church functions and advances the kingdom when people recognize and step out in their anointing, in their own particular gifting. The Father, through the Son Jesus, has set up church in the power of the Holy Spirit to function like that, where gifts and anointings are released, where people step into their particular unique gifting to them, and then they go and impact the community beyond the church. We had the prophet Jeannie here last week. If you remember, she often started conversation, I think started conversation with everyone by saying, what is it you do? With the children, the teenagers, it was, well, what do you want to do? What do you hope to be? But it was that basic question, in various ways. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
What are you doing? She was asking you to really confess, to speak out what God has called you to do. Your own unique anointing and gifting. She's asking you to identify your purpose, your God purpose, and to then step into it. She was drawing out of each and every one of us a recognition of God's call, anointing, and purpose. Because you're not here by accident. You're here to hear this, to have this stirred in your life, to be reminded that you are worthy and significant in the plans of God. There is an anointing and a call upon your life. And what Jeannie was speaking into our lives last week was to stir that up. You may not immediately step into your calling or your gifting. Even life can get in the way of that. Circumstances get in the way of it, but the call does not go away. And the call is never denied. It is there because it's God's call in your life. I've spent 37 years living with my calling, what God has asked me to do. Those 37 years have been times of wrong turnings, going down blind alleys, making mistakes, making U-turns, all the rest of that. Times when I made mistakes and I got in the way of the calling, or when I didn't handle the call very well. And there were times when it made sense, when it really made sense. You feel the flow of the Spirit. You feel God very, very close, as He is this morning. You see, when you step into your calling and gifting, your anointing, it may not be fully active from the first moment. But it's that stepping out, trying it out, which activates the gift, brings God's purposes to the fore in your life, and will then go and impact other lives. Marit said earlier at the communion, we walk in faith. That's what I mean by stepping into your calling, stepping out, testing out your gifting, seeing what God has for you. We walk by faith. We walk in obedience to God. And as Marit said, it's not that long ago, even if we do not understand it, we still walk in faith. And we still obey. By the way, Marit, when you were going back through Copenhagen Airport the other week there, you were told to expect a miracle. Well, you got it.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Amen.
That's true. The resurrection.
It's good to know there's somebody out there, isn't it? Wait, I'll go off the page. Fun's coming. And yes, that stepping out and stepping in and walking by faith comes with a health warning. To keep proper order in church, any gifting or ministry has to be recognised and overseen by those in authority. So I'm only preaching because Melvin Marriott said it's okay. Doesn't matter about a call or a gifting. Doesn't matter if it's 37 years. That's irrelevant. I can't operate unless the proper authority says I can operate. That's the way a gifting works. So if you're sensing the call of God in your life, you're sensing the stirring of your gifting and anointing, then yes, this is, you have to come to them and say to them, can we explore this? Can you help me step into this? Can you help me develop this? That's where the authority lies. But just to kick off with, I'm saying to each one of you, I'm speaking straight into your spirit now in the name of Jesus. Wake up. Wake up. Rise up. Step into your calling. I release your calling into your life now in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say, wake up, stand up, step out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Isaiah 61. People have heard a very similar message from Isaiah previously. Many years before, and it's recorded in chapter 49, one of the seven songs, there'd been a message of release from captivity, a message of restoration and renewal. See, sometimes, perhaps more often than not, God's call is not for you to go and do and say something radically new. Preach or share something radically new. It's something to take God's word and interpret it for your present time and your present circumstance. That was part of Isaiah's ministry. God is stirring him at this moment in chapter 61. The anointing is back upon him. He feels the move of the Spirit. He knows that God is saying something important to the community. And so he brings his similar messages back to them again. He was called, anointed by God to be an interpreter of an old message in order to comfort God's people and assure them that God had not forgotten them, that he was active and something new was coming. He spoke to assure people that the word of God was valid for them and would indeed be fulfilled, and that word would propel them forward. God's saying to many people here this morning, I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten you. You have not been overlooked. It's time to move forward.
Yes.
Isaiah tells us it's because the Spirit of the Lord was on him. That's how the anointing came. He was anointed by the Lord. There's a close connection between the anointing and the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Old Testament times, only kings and high priests were anointed before they took office. But remember the prophecy of Joel. In the last days, God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. That promise was received, renewed, and came in full measure at Pentecost. All flesh includes you and I. Spirit is in you. Because of your faith in Christ and your hope in the Father. So we're all anointed and we're all appointed to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Well, there's a task list for the church. It's quite a gospel agenda. The word to preach there is a word for herald. To make a public proclamation or an announcement of some important news or that someone important was coming, people had to get ready, be alert, perhaps stop what they were doing and pay attention. Perhaps the herald of victory already achieved. That's what he means here to preach. He's heralding to the community. That's why it's good news for downcast, besieged people, sitting in darkness, hopeless, lost, not sure where to go and what to do. The kingdom's coming. The Spirit is moving. That's news to be heralded. And the heralds, God's heralds, like the watchmen and watchwomen, go to the high place, move in the Spirit in order to speak to the people. Remember the recent heralding of the death of the Queen and the appointing of a new king in the country. Where did they do it from? From a high place. from a balcony. Heralds are called to go to the high place in prayer and in spirit, discern what is happening, announce what is happening to the people out of that high place of prayer and moving in communion with the Lord. Watchmen and watchwomen are called in their prayer ministry to see what is going on, and again to pray into it, to intercede and to release it. The prophet is sent to the poor and the brokenhearted. The word used for poor there is really a word for humble poor. Used, for example, in many of the Psalms to describe those who, in spite of their present distress, confidently and steadfastly await the arrival of God's help and God's intervention in their life. Perhaps actually this morning that despite your circumstances, you're still confident that the Lord will bring an answer. That's humble poor. Freedom for captives. The words carry a sense of those who are frustrated by the situation in which the community finds itself. And particularly for these people that Isaiah spoke to, that God spoke to through Isaiah, people in exile. Stating the obvious, that some here are in a kind of exile. Whatever circumstances have happened in your life, you have come here from another place. We are a multi-ethnic, diverse congregation. We have a diverse congregation online, if you like, as well. So for some reason or other, you're in a kind of exile. So God is speaking particularly to you in exile. God wants you to receive good news in your place of exile, to bind up the broken heart, to restore and to renew. We start by God saying to you this morning, He recognizes your place of exile. He recognizes your pain. He is compassionate for you. He recognizes your frustrations of exile. I can barely speak English, as you know, so I don't understand how some of you can come here and cope with a strange foreign language and then have a Scottish accent on top of it. I am from Ayrshire, I don't even speak Scottish properly. Trust me, I'm doing my very best to be polite here. Well, there's another kind of exile, isn't there? Some are in exile from God, from their calling. And some are in exile from themselves. Some are locked away by how they see themselves, by the words and the actions of other people, or maybe by their own actions and poor choices. So God is saying to you as well, be free in Jesus' name. Come out of exile. Come to the place where you're meant to be in the destiny of God. Be free. Receive freedom. No longer let those things and that situation in your past define what your present and your future is. Do not let them define what you do. You're anointed. You have the call of God in your life. Come out of exile. Bind him up. To bind up the brokenhearted. Yes, the image of putting bandages and dressings and plasters on wounds, stitching up wounds, to heal people physically and emotionally. Most people don't come forward when there's an invitation for prayer, for the ministry team to come and pray with them and for them. Most don't come forward. It's a certainty that there is pain and discomfort in your body, or there's emotional pain, mental pain. There is a need for healing. But you're thinking, no, I'm not going forward. If you've got an ache or a pain in your body or a distraction in your mind or something holding you back this morning, then you need healing. So just sit there and receive it. Think of the aches and the pains in your body. Think of what is unwell with you today. And say to the Lord Jesus, I offer you this pain, this confusion, this discomfort. Jesus, you are my healer and my saviour. I release this to you now. And I choose to receive my healing. Let healing come. If you need more prayer for healing, then line up at the end. If you feel you need a freedom slot, speak to Melvin and Marie. If you need a personal conversation, then Ruth's also available. To proclaim freedom for the captives. This has the sense of the Jubilee, which was a festival established in Old Testament times. The Jubilee was every 50 years when all debts were cancelled, slaves were freed, society restored to the default setting. Wouldn't it be good if we just cancel mortgages and reset them? Hallelujah. Relationships restored. Land was rescued. Land was freed up and returned. Land and possessions taken in security were returned to people, freed up. I'm certain some of you have arrived here from other places where there's goods and possessions and stuff back where you came from that is rightfully yours and has been held up, blocked, not released to you. So in Jesus' name I proclaim that release. We cry out for justice in these situations and we say, Lord, we want a sevenfold return for these injustices.
Yes.
Release these things now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Yeah. Release from darkness for the prisoners. In the original language, the prophet doesn't use the word prison. The word is used as a particular one for open. The emphasis is on that word, release. That's where the underlining is, if you like. So that word for open that he's using is about eyes opening. Opening the eyes of the blind. But we also can be blind to things in our own lives. We can be deaf and blind to God's call in our life. So this message perhaps is a wake-up call to open your eyes and see. To see you as God sees you. To see your calling and destiny as God has given it to you. So open your eyes. See, look around. See things as God sees them and step into your calling. But there's another kind of eyes shut, isn't there? Eyes not open. Think of that passage in Luke where Jesus used these words of the prophet Isaiah to announce his ministry and to announce God's agenda. His application of those words to himself, saying this is now fulfilled, effectively sparked a riot. The congregation became a mob. They didn't just try to run him out of town, they tried to throw him off a cliff. So that's them saying, this is blasphemy. This is them saying to God, we do not want your message, we do not receive this message, we do not receive your Jesus. He's Joseph's son, he's nothing to do with this, he shouldn't be saying these things, and we're just going to throw him over a cliff because this is blasphemy, and we're greatly offended. Congregation become a mob. And of course Jesus just walks right through them and walks away. So there's eyes closed, shut, not open because of spiritual blindness and maybe a religious spirit. We find that every time that God's Spirit moves in the church in times of renewing and revival, you always see them lining up, don't you? This is not a revival, this is not of God, this is not the Spirit, be no better. This is offensive. Well, we just need to get over it. Because their eyes are closed. But people are ready to tell you that whatever is happening is not of God and not right. Yes, everything has to be decent and good order, that's why we have authority over us. And I believe, although commentators might not take you down the street, I believe that eyes being opened is also referring to the dead. Resurrection of the dead. A hint of the general resurrection that is coming. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, yes, Jubilee and all of that. The time when God shows his particular favour to those in distress, followed by a day of vengeance, the day when God moves to restore and release his people, defeating those who would hold them back. A time of spiritual warfare, perhaps. These phrases are loaded with words of salvation. To comfort all those who mourn. Comfort is a key word in the Isaiah prophecy. In Isaiah 40, it's the core of the preaching message, comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to them. And the ministry which flows down from that, call to comfort. This is comfort in a sense, yet again, of not being forgotten, of not being overlooked. It's a covenant word in Scripture which signifies the relationship has not been broken, that God hasn't forgotten you. That part of his comfort is that you're not forgotten. The relationship is not broken. So again, in Jesus' name, I speak this comfort to you. Whatever your circumstance this morning, I say comfort. God has not forgotten you. There's a sense here too of God through the prophet describing the future state of his people. There's a rest promised by Jesus, the Sabbath rest promised by God in Hebrews 4. Those who grieve, and a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. We're still in Isaiah 61 here. God reversing the situation of great loss and deep mourning. These are images, three images of joy replacing the grief and despair of God's people. The crown or the headdress was always removed in a time of mourning and set aside until the mourning period was over. Part of putting on the funeral clothes. It was a way to signal to the wider community that you were grieving, that your headdress had been set aside. Ashes were sprinkled on the head as a further sign of mourning and grief. Anointing oil is to be poured out on the head to replace that sadness and grief. Anointing was done in festive occasions and times of community celebration, such as at weddings. And that will keep repeating through Scripture. God will keep reminding us of headdress worn in marriage, of being anointed for marriage, because we're going to the marriage feast of the Lamb. We had a taste of it earlier in Holy Communion. And a garment of praise. That's the sense of restoring your reputation. It's a word that can be said about splendor or renown. It's a reputational word. And it replaces deep despair, discouragement. Oaks of righteousness. God describing his people as a plantation of not just any trees, but of mighty oaks, strong trees. He's going to put plantations of these oaks all over the place for the purpose of righteousness, to influence that area with righteousness. This congregation is a planting of oaks. Every congregation should be a stand or a planting of oaks of righteousness for the display of his splendor. there's something here of generational significance, because it's oak and they're long lasting, because they're mighty trees, because they're a stand of trees that stand out, if you like. Oaks last a long time and grow mighty. There's generational blessing here to be received by the anointing of God on your life. Restoring ancient ruins, renewing. Key part of our ministry is restoring broken lives and restoring broken communities. Going into the ruined places and the ruined lives and getting alongside them and saying, comfort, healing.
Yeah.
You're not forgotten. Come out of exile. Wake up, rise up. It's not over. It's very easy to look at Isaiah 61 and say, well, that was for the prophet. That was his calling, his sense of calling, his sense of anointing. But it's your anointing as well. It's your calling. And God is calling you today. So to go back to where Ginny was last week, the prophet, what do you do? What is your purpose? What is your anointing? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your work and for the way it impacts our lives. May that work now impact us. We pray for the release of your Spirit, for anointing and to service in the prophecies of God. For our lives to be wakened up, for our eyes to be opened,
yes.
And God, for the great cause of our life, to come to life in Christ. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.